First, we must start with some definitions. When stock prices reinforce the underlying trend, we shall call the trend self-reinforcing. When they work in the opposite direction, self-correcting. The same terminology holds for the prevailing bias. It can be self-reinforcing or self-correcting. It is important to realize what these terms mean. When a trend is reinforced, it accelerates. When the bias is reinforced, the divergence between expectations and the actual course of future stock prices gets wider, and, conversely, when it is self-correcting, the divergence gets narrower. As far as stock prices are concerned, we shall describe them simply as rising and falling. When the prevailing bias helps to raise prices, we shall call it positive. When it works in the opposite direction, negative. Thus, rising prices are reinforced by a positive bias and falling prices by a negative one. In a boom-bust sequence, we would expect to find at least one stretch where rising prices are reinforced by a positive bias and another where falling prices are reinforced by a negative bias. There must also be a point where the underlying trend and the prevailing bias combine to reverse the trend in stock prices. Let us now try to build a rudimentary model of boom and bust. We start with an underlying trend that is not yet recognized, although a prevailing bias that is not yet reflected in stock prices is also conceivable. Thus, the prevailing bias is negative to start with. When the market participants recognize the trend, this change in perceptions will affect stock prices. The change in stock prices may or may not affect the underlying trend. In the latter case, there is little more to discuss. In the former case, we have the beginning of a self-reinforcing process. The enhanced trend will affect the prevailing bias in one of two ways. It will lead to the expectation of further acceleration or to the expectation of a correction. In the latter case, the underlying trend may or may not survive the correction in stock prices. In the former case, a positive bias develops, causing a further rise in stock prices and a further acceleration in the underlying trend. As long as the bias is self-reinforcing, expectations rise even faster than stock prices. The underlying trend becomes increasingly influenced by stock prices, and the rise in stock prices becomes increasingly dependent on the prevailing bias, so that both the underlying trend and the prevailing bias become increasingly vulnerable. Eventually, the trend in prices cannot sustain prevailing expectations, and a correction sets in. Disappointed expectations have a negative effect on stock prices, and faltering stock prices weaken the underlying trend. If the underlying trend has become overly dependent on stock prices, the correction may turn into a total reversal. In that case, stock prices fall, the underlying trend is reversed, and expectations fall even further. In this way, a self-reinforcing process gets started in the opposite direction. Eventually, the downturn also reaches a climax and reverses itself. Typically, a self-reinforcing process undergoes orderly corrections in the early stages, and if it survives them, the bias tends to be reinforced and is less easily shaken. When the process is advanced, corrections become scarcer and the danger of a climactic reversal greater. A few words about the theoretical construction of the model may be in order. We are interested in the interplay between the participant's bias and the actual course of events. The great merit of this construction is that it uses variables that can be quantified. Stock prices serve as a convenient proxy for the situation to which the participant's bias relates. In other historical processes, the situation that is interconnected with the participant's perception by the cognitive and participating functions is more difficult to identify and impossible to quantify. It is the availability of a convenient proxy that renders the stock market such a useful laboratory for studying reflexivity. Unfortunately, the model offers only a partial explanation of how stock prices are determined. The concept of an underlying trend has been introduced as a placeholder term to denote changes in the fundamentals. What the fundamentals are has not been defined. Even the question of how the fundamentals are to be measured has not been answered. Earnings, dividends, asset value, free cash flow, all these yardsticks are relevant, as well as many others, but the relative weight given to each depends on the investor's judgments and is therefore subject to their bias. We may use earnings per share for purposes of illustration, but that merely begs the question. It is a question security analysts have been struggling with for a long time. We do not need to answer it here in order to develop a theory of reflexivity. Without knowing anything about the fundamentals, we can make some worthwhile generalizations. The first generalization is that stock prices must have some effect on the fundamentals, whatever they are, in order to create a boom-bust pattern. Sometimes the connection is direct, as in the examples I shall use in this chapter, but generally it is indirect. Often it makes its effect felt through a political process, such as changes in taxation, or regulation, or attitudes to saving and investing. It is possible to have a reflexive connection between stock prices and the prevailing bias, even if the fundamentals remain unaffected. But the connection becomes interesting only if the fundamentals are also involved. Without a change in fundamentals, the prevailing bias is likely to be corrected in short order, as we can observe in the daily fluctuations of stock prices. It would be quite in order to ignore the bias as mere noise. That is what the theory of perfect competition and the fundamentalist approach to security analysis have done. By contrast, when the fundamentals are affected, the bias cannot be left out of account without serious distortion, because the bias gives rise to a self-reinforcing, self-defeating process that leaves neither stock prices, nor the fundamentals, nor the participants' views the same as they were before. The second generalization is that there is bound to be a flaw in the participants' perception of the fundamentals. The flaw may not be apparent in the early stages, but it is likely to manifest itself later on. When it does, it sets the stage for a reversal in the prevailing bias. If the change in bias reverses the underlying trend, a self-reinforcing process is set in motion in the opposite direction. What the flaw is, and how and when it is likely to manifest itself, are the keys to understanding boom-bust sequences.